time, letting just enough through to make sure she knew I was still alive. It was a dick move, and ultimately useless. But, like so many stupid decisions I've made in the century and a quarter or so I've been alive, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Now, here we were, standing in the hallway of a building I owned, but felt like a complete stranger in, with the woman I loved more than oxygen and good whiskey. I was scared shitless of how this was going to go down, and underneath all the roil of emotions about my relationship, if I still had one, with Rebecca, and there was a nasty, copper-tasting undercurrent of worry about Luke. Luke. Lucas Card. That's what he was going by these days. He was coming to the end of the lifespan of that alias, though, which meant that in a few years, Lucas Card was going to have to move away and be replaced by his younger nephew with similar features, a different haircut, and a new name. It was the haircut that Luke hated the most. I think he secretly liked the other parts. The playing dress-up, the reinventing himself every couple of decades, the new names and histories. It had to be a little entertaining for a man whose real story had been told so often, so thoroughly, and so spectacularly incorrectly ever since Abraham Van Helsing sat down with his friend Bram Stoker and helped create the fictional account of my uncle Vlad Tepes, Count Dracula. But now that uncle was missing, and for once, I was the one playing cavalry. It was a reversal of nearly a century of Luke bailing my ass out of bad situations, and while I kind of relished being the one riding in on the white horse for a change, I really, really didn't want Luke to have been kidnapped and probably tortured because of it. I reached in my pocket for the key to the apartment and realized that I left those keys, along with every other remnant of my life here, in the drawer of a bedside table in a converted storeroom of a magical neutral zone dive bar on the Mississippi River. I don't have my keys, I said. It's probably open, Flynn said, reaching past me and turning the knob. Sure enough, the door swung open without a sound. I stepped through and caught it before it hit the wall. Heavy. Someone had upgraded the security since I'd been gone. Bex caught my look and nodded.
We reinforced all the doors and windows, plus the frames. The ceiling was fine since it's a helipad, but we added titanium sheeting under the carpet. Director Pravesh brought in some mages to ward everything. Nothing short of an archangel is getting in here without an invitation. Too bad we didn't think of it until it was too late.
Her jaw tightened, and I saw the anger and self-recrimination flash across her face. I wanted to reach out, wanted to take her in my arms and tell her it wasn't her fault, that if someone was going to kidnap Count Friggin' Dracula, that she wouldn't have been able to stop them anyway. But I could feel the anger boiling through our link and let it go. We'd figure out our shit later once Luke was safe, because burying my feelings had worked so well for me the last 6 months. I just bit my tongue and stepped over the threshold. The place looked just like I remembered it, only with fewer archangels lounging about. There was a big conference table dominating the living room with 8 chairs around it. A monstrous TV hung on one wall, and the blinds were open to the balcony, letting in the first rays of sunlight. On a couch off to the side of the room, a tall African-American woman with dreads and her foot in a walking boot snored quietly, stretched out with a hammer laying on the floor next to her. A little girl with her mother's nose sat on the floor by the couch, playing on a tablet computer, and she grinned when she saw me walk in.
"Uncle Q," she cried as she sprang to her feet and barreled over to me. "Mommy said we might not see you for a long time. Were you on the helicopter? I heard it, but Mommy was asleep. Do you want some breakfast? I can make Pop-Tarts, but I bet Gran will make you scrambled eggs if you want some."
I reached down and patted the girl on her head. She wore pink and purple pajamas with unicorns on them, and I felt a little pang looking at them, thinking of my pal Dennis, who was once a computer genius, then spent several years as a disembodied soul trapped in the internet, and was currently the Archangel Uriel. My life, it has the weird. "Hey, Jenny," I said. "Pop-Tarts sound great. Do you have the brown sugar and cinnamon ones? Those are my favorite."
"I don't know. I'll ask Gran."
She turned and marched off to the kitchen, where her grandmother was busy making coffee. I followed the girl, giving my best smile to Cassie as I walked behind the bar into the kitchen. "Hey, Cassie,"